I got a blurb on the screen saying it's being recorded, but no audio of it.
Oh, yeah, just say meeting recording is in progress at the top right.
All right, great, thanks. So our meeting is in session. Good evening. Let's begin with a flag salute. I didn't bring any graphics today. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, and justice for all. This is Monday, April 27th, 2020. This is a virtual public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that the annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the front door of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lucas? Absent. Mr. Mattson?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager. Have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let me run down the agenda briefly. In terms of new business, we have no vouchers this session. We'll look at meeting minutes from our last session. We have no resolutions. The schedule shows that we're going to have two public hearings, Joseph Smeltzer and then Borough of Highbridge. Mr. Smeltzer's case will not be on for tonight. He had a problem with his notice, so we're going to push him off to a later meeting, and we'll only have Borough of Highbridge as our only public hearing for the night. So that's the agenda. Does anyone have any comments or questions about that?
Tom, this is Dan McTiernan. Just a reminder, I need to recuse myself from the Highbridge portion.
Okay. Okay. You can stay for the minute's approval. And,
how many people? This is David Pfeffer. How many people does that leave us with that are here right now that are also not recusing from that?
And we can take a count here. I see Tom Yeager join the meeting. Tom Yeager, you are here?
I'm here. I just joined. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, David, is there a question that there won't be enough people? Are you recusing from Highbridge?
No. I just started, but especially now that Tom Yeager's here, I guess it's like a switcheroo for the count, so we're fine.
Okay, that's it. Anyone else have any questions on the agenda for tonight? Okay, with that, let's go to approval of the minutes from special meeting of the 13th, which I have up on the screen. Does anyone have any corrections or additions to the minutes? Okay, eligible members to vote are Lewis, Mattson, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Pfeffer, Roberts, Stevens, and Yeager. So motion to approve those minutes, please.
So moved. David Pfeffer.
Second. Okay, Denise, would you call the roll on that, please?
Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries. And Ms. Stevens, could you please mute yourself because the bird comes through as a very loud screech on my end? Thank you.
Okay. And Tom Yeager, could you mute your line too until you need to say something?
Try that.
Okay. All right. And so we are on to public hearing for Borough of High Ridge, and I'll just leave this up for a minute so people can look at this. We're looking for a D variance and bulk C variance and site plan waiver request to install standby emergency generator behind existing water supply well house, etc. I'm not going to read the whole thing here. I'll give people a minute to look at that.
Tom, this is Dan McTiernan. I think I need to recuse myself from here on.
Okay, Dan, thanks for identifying yourself that way. Okay, so we're on to Borough of High Ridge, and who is leading the discussion for us?
I just have a quick question for Katie. Typically, when a board member recuses, they leave the room, so should Mr. McTiernan leave the meeting?
For now, yeah, sorry.
He's trying to.
He did leave.
Oh, okay, okay. Don't want to see you go, but.
Okay, and who's leading the discussion for the Borough High Ridge, please?
Stephen Ferkser, but I have to be unmuted.
Hi, Stephen, how are you?
Can you unmute
we
yourself?
Cannot hear you.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. Board. My name is Stephen Ferkser from the law firm of Greenback, attorneys for the Borough of High Ridge, and seeking permission.
Excuse me just a second, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Burke, could you mute your line, please? We're hearing a lot of noise come from you. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Frisker, please.
Yes. We are seeking approval for the installation of an emergency generator with the existing Well 8 pump house at 99 Gray Rock Road. The existing pump house is within a 50-foot easement existing on the site. The well house was constructed in approximately 1986, and we have received, the borough has received a FEMA grant to install a emergency generator. We are seeking approval. We are requesting a D use variance since the proposed use is not permitted in the ROM 3 zone. And we are seeking a front yard setback variance since a 35.53-foot setback is proposed, whereas 100 feet is required, and the existing well house measures 19.71 feet from the front property line. We have also requested site plan submission waivers in accordance with local regulations 165-36.1 because of the limited nature of the application and the minimal effect that the project has. And we understand the board has granted those waivers of site plan submissions, and we thank the board for that. We have two witnesses tonight. William Burr, who is a professional licensed professional engineer, and Darlene Green, a professional planner. So if we could have Mr. Burr lined up.
Okay, so just Katie, before you do one thing, hey, Dave Roberts, could you please mute your line? I'm seeing noise coming across through you. And John Mattson, could you mute your line, please?
I want to talk.
Thank you. Oh, okay, do you have something to say, John?
Yes. Doesn't the board need to grant the waivers on completeness? Don't we have to do that by a vote?
No, we don't. The board doesn't grant waivers anymore, Mr. Frisker. We do it administratively during the completeness review.
Okay.
That was all done prior to the meeting.
Thank you.
That was Mr. Mattson's question, and I think maybe John forgot that we moved that responsibility to the board secretary and the board engineer last year.
Okay. So are we ready? Can we swear? Are we ready to swear in witnesses, Mr. Frisker?
Yes.
Okay. So for purposes of ease and simplicity and hopefully somewhat of efficiency, and because I think at this point I can see everybody, I'd like to swear in Mr. Burr, and I see Ms. Green, I believe she's your second witness, is that correct?
That is correct.
So you're two witnesses for the evening in total, right? Okay, and then I also see Mr. Behrens, who's the board planner, and that's the board's only expert who's present this evening, correct?
Yes.
On our end, right, Denise?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I can see everybody. Okay, yes. So if the three of you could raise your right hand so I could see it like this. Thank you, perfect. And then I'll issue the bow, and then if you could answer, that would be great. Okay. And so if you're all off mute, I see that would be great. Okay. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you are about going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
I do.
Okay. So now we have all three witnesses sworn, so I believe we're set for everybody that's going to testify as far as we know so far.
Yes. Okay. So you can line up Mr. Burke. And Mr. Burr, if you could give your name, address, and professional affiliation.
Sure. William Burr from the firm of Mazur Consulting. Our office is located at 53 Frontage Road in Hampton, New Jersey, 08827.
And could you give the board the benefit of your professional background?
Sure. I've been a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey since 2007. I currently represent nine municipalities, either as their municipal engineer or planning and zoning board engineer throughout Somerset and Hunterdon County, including Highbridge Borough, our applicant tonight. I have testified before boards previously and been accepted as a civil engineer. I have a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and I think that pretty much does it.
I would ask that the board accept Mr. Burr as an expert in the field of engineering.
Okay. Are there any board members have a question as to his qualifications? Okay. He's acceptable.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Burr, could you describe your responsibilities in connection with this project?
Sure. We were engaged by the borough to assist them with executing this project, which is really to purchase and install an emergency generator at the borough's well house, which is located at 99 Gray Rock Road. Property is at the corner of County Route 513, which is West Main Street and Gray Rock Road. So we were asked by the borough to help them through the approval process of procurement of the generator and its contractors to install the generator.
And can you describe the site as it exists today with the existing improvements? And I think we would like to have Exhibit 1 displayed.
I was just going to ask that. Mr. Chairman, can you put Exhibit 1 on the display? I think that would be helpful.
Okay. This is the one you want?
Yes, thank you. So this provides an overview of the property in question. The property is outlined in the red dashed line. Property consists of a little over 4 acres now, and you can see it's largely developed with a what I'll call an L-shaped office building, a large parking area, and driveway access off of Gray Rock Road. In this, you see the small yellow star. That represents the borough's existing well house, which is located in the front yard along Gray Rock Road. That's really the focus of this application, is that star. It's not labeled, but if you scan to the bottom of the page, the southerly direction along Gray Rock Road, where the yellow dashed line sort of intersects Gray Rock Road, is generally where the existing wellhead is for this well, but the well house itself is the yellow star. But you can see the property is developed currently with an existing office building and parking area, drainage facilities, and the like.
Okay. And what are the dimensions of the existing well house building?
So the well house now, it's very difficult to see. It's shown on our site plan exhibit, but the well house now is It measures just under 11 feet by 16 feet wide. The height of the building is 12 and a half feet. And as you mentioned, Steve, the building itself is situated just under 20 feet, 19.71 feet from the front property line along Gray Rock Road. There's a small paved driveway, probably enough parking for two vehicles, right off of Gray Rock Road to the front of the well house.
And what purpose does the existing well house serve?
So the well house now contains all of the pump controls for well number 8, which is the main source well for the borough's water supply system. It includes all the pump controls, and then it also includes the chlorination system, the treatment system for the well.
All right. And what population does this well house serve?
The well house serves really the majority of the residents within the borough. I'd say probably 98%. There are some that are still on individual wells, but basically all of Highbridge Borough is supplied by public water. And then there's about 49 or 50 residents within Clinton Township that are also provided water from Highbridge's water system.
Okay. And how essential is this well house to the borough's operation of its water system?
Well, it's very essential. There's the borough's water system now is made up of 5 active source wells. 4 of the wells are on property north of Highbridge in Lebanon Township. This particular well number 8, located, you know, in Clinton Township here, really makes up the majority of the water that the borough relies on. The borough's water allocation permit allows for a little over 19 million gallons a month of water. This well accounts for about 12 million gallons a month. So a little over 60% of the borough's water comes from this well. We have, if our existing water tower is filled, we have about 36 hours worth of good reserves if something happened to this well. So this is very essential to the operation of the borough's water system.
And what relief is the borough seeking in this application?
So two variances, and obviously let Ms. Green comment on them later, but a D variance, use variance. This proposed use is not permitted in the township's ROM3 district, so a D use variance has been identified. And then also a C variance for a front yard setback. As we mentioned, the existing well house is 19.71 feet from the front property line. We're proposing to place a generator behind that well house at a distance of, I think, 35.5 feet, whereas 100 feet is required. So we would need a front yard setback for the generator location. And then we're also seeking a waiver of site plan, formal site plan for this project.
Okay. So this generator that's going to provide backup power in the event of a power emergency, can you describe the location of the generator in relation to the existing well house?
Right. So as I mentioned, the new generator is going to be placed behind the existing well house. Building codes require a 5-foot offset, so it'll be 5 feet behind the existing well house. The generator size is slightly narrower than the existing well house, and it's going to be not as tall as the existing well house. It will be placed in that front yard area, but we've worked with electricians to make sure that it can be situated behind the well house and work, frankly, we think that's the best location in terms of the aesthetics and kind of keep it out of public view.
Okay. So the borough planner had a question to clarify what level in the submission that we put in on page 65 of the application. There were various levels of generator. Which level is this generator?
This is a level 1 generator.
And what are the dimensions?
So I'll give you the inches, and I'll translate it into feet, but it's 102 inches by 44 inches by 74 inches high. And that equates to about an 8.5 foot wide generator, 3.67 feet high, wide. And then we're a little over 6 feet tall with the actual generator unit. The generator, all as part of one unit, the generator is on top of a double-walled enclosed fuel tank. That is a little over 2 feet. So all told, the generator structure itself is about 8.5 feet tall, 8.5 feet wide, and 3.67 feet wide.
Okay, so just to go over that, so there'll be a concrete base, and then there'll be approximately how much height to contain the fuel tank.
So, you know, you had mentioned before, Steve, the borough had obtained grant money through FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for this generator. And this, believe it or not, dates back to, I think, Hurricane Sandy funding. One of the conditions of the grant that we're receiving is for us to certify that the generator is going to be placed above the 500-year flood elevation. So in order to address that requirement, we need to construct what I'll call an elevated concrete pad or concrete pad with footings. So we're actually going to have a concrete pad that lies about 2 feet above the existing grade to the rear of the well house. So we have a 2 foot concrete pad, and then we're going to have the generator, which, as I mentioned, all told is about 8.5 feet tall. So our total height above the lawn area behind the well house is 10.5 feet tall. You have 2 feet for the concrete pad and 8.5 feet total for the generator unit.
And then there's how much of a base between the concrete pad and the generator itself?
Well, you're gonna have a 2 foot pad, so the pad will be elevated 2 feet above the grade. Then you're gonna have the fuel tank, which accounts for 28 inches or 2.3 feet, and then you're gonna have the generator, which is another 6+ feet. So you have the 2 foot tall pad plus an 8.5 foot total generator structure. Does that answer your question?
Yes. And is this the total height? How does it compare to the existing building? Same size, less, higher?
No, we're lower. It's hard to believe that the generator is that tall, but you know, when you elevate it above the flood elevation and you take into account the fuel tank, it's a tall unit. But the existing well house, I was out there today, it measures 12.5 feet to its peak. Our unit is going to be about 10.5 feet. So we'll be right around 2 feet less than the height of the building.
And what's the size of the fuel tank?
So the fuel tank is 250-gallon. It's a double-walled enclosed unit, 250 gallons. It'll provide us about 24 hours of continuous run time. God forbid there is an emergency.
Okay. And how long will that tank allow for operation?
24 hours. It continuous is what it's rated for. So if we have a power outage, we could get 24 hours of continuous runtime out of it before it would need to be refilled. What we're looking at is a diesel-fueled 80 kilowatt unit.
And the borough does the borough have the resources to fill the tank every 24 hours if it's an extended period?
They do, and we also would bring in an outside vendor as needed. But yes, we do.
Can you describe the noise levels of this generator?
So under full load, the manufacturer indicates 77 decibels at full capacity, no load, we're at about 74 decibels.
And just in
77 decibels, it's on the order of a vacuum cleaner, garbage disposal, washing machine, something along those lines provides typical noise output.
This is David Pfeffer. Do you mind if I interrupt you for a quick question? You I think had mentioned a little while ago you guys have around 36 hours of reserve water before you need the generator.
Yes.
How does I don't actually know the amount of water you guys actually deliver in that time period. How does the size of the fuel tank for 24 hours compare to 24 hours of reserve water in terms of physical space?
I don't know.
Roughly. I mean, I'm not asking for like an accurate measurement, but if you were to store 24 hours worth of reserve water, how would that compare in terms of footprint or size or whatever to storing 24 hours worth of fuel to run the system?
Well, we have a million-gallon storage tank towards the northern part of High Bridge off of 513. So you figure million gallons. I mean, the water goes quickly, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, okay. So that answers my question. We are not looking anywhere near a million gallons worth of fuel. So,
250 gallons of fuel, million gallons of water.
Okay. I figured that was the answer or something absurd like that, but I just wanted to put it into context of, why use a generator versus just storing additional reserve water. But that answers that question then. Thank you.
Other than in emergency situations, how often would this generator be operated?
Typically, it would be run once a week, just for exercising purposes. The manufacturer recommends once a week, typically 15 to 20 minutes. We would usually pick a weekday, sometime middle of the day, late morning, something like that. Something when, if there were to be any noise impact, something that would be the least intrusive. But, we'd be happy to work with the town to set that day and time, whatever works. But typically, we usually do midweek, midday, 15 to 20 minutes once a week.
And how would the will the well house and generator be accessed?
So there's it's hard to see on the exhibit, but there is right near the yellow star, there is a short driveway, paved driveway that basically goes right to the side of the well house. There's enough space for one vehicle. You could probably, squeeze two over there, but having the generator there does not increase our, requirement to have staffing, on site any more than, the guys at DPW stop by to check on the well house on a weekly basis. But there is off-street parking.
And would any lighting be required for this operation?
There would not be. Nope. I believe there's a light on the entrance door to the well house itself, but we would not propose any additional lighting.
And then finally, the township planner noted a concern with screening. Could you describe what screening is proposed?
Yeah, I don't want to steal any thunder from our planner, but I might ask the chairman to maybe, if you would, Mr. Chairman, could you bring up Exhibit 2? That may give a little bit more representative.
This one you want?
Yes, thank you. So you can see generally the outline of the existing well house is the yellow rectangle. It's tough to see, obviously due to some of the tree coverage. And in the blue is where we're generally proposing the generator. There is existing vegetation to the sides and to the rear of the well house. We also submitted on Exhibit 3 some Google images, which are still very much representative of what exists today. On the north side of the well house, there's sort of a standalone tree closest to the entrance driveway for the office building. That's some type of It's a deciduous tree. It's like an apple tree with full foliage. It gives nice screening. There are shrubs and just kind of overgrowth plants around the rear and to the south side of the well house that, again, when fully vegetated, they give a nice screen. I think summertime months when all of those trees are in bloom, you're really going to have a hard time, I believe, seeing the generator. Perhaps in the winter months when the trees lose their leaves, the generator may be a little more visible. And to the extent that the board may want to see some landscaping, I'm sure we can come up with, you know, a plan that could help fill in any of the view sheds. But we don't think it's going to be very, you know, impactful from an aesthetic point of view. It's pretty well buffered out there right now.
Those are the questions I have for the engineer.
Excuse me. Well, oh, okay. I was going to say I have a couple of questions. One, this is Dave Roberts, by the way. Do you intend to remove any vegetation?
The only vegetation that would be removed is directly where the concrete pad and footings for the generator and the generator itself is going to be installed. That would be the only disturbance.
Looks from the picture like that would just be grass. There's no shrubs or trees being removed.
No, there. Yeah, the area to the rear of the well house is just a kind of a lawn area, a grassed area, probably 50 or 60 square feet, maybe 11 by 6 area. That's the only area that would be disturbed where we're actually putting the generator, correct?
And my other question would be, how often would you replace the fuel for the generator? Because I know diesel doesn't last for a particularly long period of time.
You know, I hadn't given it much thought. I guess it's a function of, you know, with the regular exercising and if we do have to, you know, if we have any power outages and we have to put that generator into action, we'll have to evaluate that. But, you know, the borough is, I'll give a plug to the public works director. He's on the call, but they do a very good job of maintaining their facilities and their equipment. So I'm sure they'll change out that diesel as necessary to keep this piece of equipment operating to its fullest potential.
Well, part of my concern on that is the driveway area there long enough for a fuel truck to park, long enough to remove the fuel from the, you know, it would take time to remove the fuel from the generator and put new fuel in.
I think it would, Mr. Roberts. It's hard to see in the picture, but just to the north, the top of that existing well house, the pavement does extend to the side of the well house, right to the back of the house itself. So if a fuel truck had to back into the site, I believe it could back in and be able to provide, you know, fuel or for that matter, empty a tank without blocking any traffic on Gray Rock.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Any other board members have questions? Is there anyone on the bridge that's from the public that would like to ask questions of the witness, Mr. Burr? I know we have a number of other people on the bridge. Anyone else want to ask questions? So, Mr. Burr, just one comment. We approved the generator for a well in Clinton Township. And one of the conditions was that we did limit the number of hours or the specific hours in which they could test it. And it was Monday through Friday, and I forget exactly when it was, like after 9 a.m., I think, and then no later than maybe 4 o'clock. Is that a reasonable time frame if we said 9 to 4 Monday through Friday?
I think so, Mr. Chairman. I don't think the borough would have any objection to that condition. Nope.
Okay. Does any board member think that's the wrong time slot to select? Okay, I'll take a note on that. Okay, Friday. 9 to 4. Okay. And is that it, Mr. Burr? Anything else to share with us? Any other exhibits you want to point to?
The only other exhibit is the images, the Google images, and I think Darlene Green, our planner, is going to go through those. I do have the site plan documents that were submitted with the application, but I think we provided a pretty good overview of what's being proposed. So there's our plan. That provides a little bit better view of the well house itself, and generally the location of the generator and the pad right behind the building there. You can see the size of the existing building, well house buildings, around 11 by 16. Our generator and pad is smaller in nature, 5 foot setback. Right now we're not proposing any vegetation to be removed other than the lawn area. And you can see when you're looking at the well house, to the left of the well house, there's existing dashed lines, which are not the contours that kind of show a rectangular shape to the left of the well house building. That's the pavement area that I was referring to before. That area is all paved, just exactly. All paved.
Can you see my mouse moving?
I can. That's exactly, that's the limit of the existing pavement. Yep.
Okay. So that extends, this whole area.
Yep. You can see on this plan, it's a little bit better view showing the setbacks that exist to the existing well house. The closest corner of the well house is 19.71 feet to the front right of way. And you can see to the generator, we're proposing 35.53. Just to the bottom of the proposed generator, further away from Gray Rock Road, you can see a dark black hatched line that runs left to right on the page. That's the limit of the existing 50-foot wide utility easement that the borough has from the property owner for not only this facility as well as the actual source well itself next door. I think that's
okay.
Unless there's any other questions, I think that's all I had.
Sharon Stevens, I have one question about when the generator will initiate in an emergency, because I think you said that there was 36 hours of water. So is the generator going to start immediately, or is there a schedule that it will start on, you know, when it gets down to a certain level or something? Water gets down to a certain level?
No, I think we would have this set up where if we lost power, that emergency generator would kick on just to continue to allow the well to operate as it currently does. If the existing well pump is not running and we lose power and the generator kicks on, it doesn't necessarily draw any more water out of the ground. I think it's a function of what the well needs. But, yeah, if we lost power, I think that generator is going to be ready to go.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, our next witness is Darlene Green. Line her up. Ms. Green, you've been sworn, so could you please provide your name and professional affiliation?
Sure. It's Darlene Green. I am a planner with Mazur Consulting. Our address is 53 Frontage Road, and that's in Hampton, New Jersey.
And could you give the board the benefit of your professional background?
Yes. I have a bachelor's in architecture from Lehigh University and a master's in city and regional planning from Rutgers. I've worked for Mazur Consulting since 2007. I've been a licensed in New Jersey since 2010. And I do hold my American Institute of Certified Planners certification, which is a national certification.
And have you presented testimony before boards of this nature and been accepted as an expert?
Yes, I currently represent over 15 towns in various appointed and consulting capacities. I've appeared in front of more than 24 boards in the northern half of the state, and I've been accepted in 3 different Vistage Superior Court arenas in the area and qualified in the area of affordable housing and planning.
I move to have Ms. Green accepted as an expert in the field of planning.
Okay, does anyone have any questions as to her qualifications? This is unusual that we have both a planner and an engineer, both of whom we've never seen before. So that plus the video conference makes this an exciting meeting for us. So, yes, she's acceptable.
Always something new. Ms. Green, could you describe what you did to prepare for your testimony in this matter?
Sure. I reviewed the submission to the township, reviewed the township's ordinance and its master plan, and then prepared the testimony related to the variances that the application is triggering this evening.
Okay. If we could put up Exhibit 1, and if using that exhibit, could you just give a general description of the project?
You bring that. Is this the one? No, it's not this one, right?
No, it's the one you had before. It's the aerial photograph.
Okay. This one?
Yes.
No, the first one.
Large, the first one.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you could describe the project and the surrounding areas.
Sure. So, as Mr. Burr mentioned, we're at 99 Gray Rock Road, at the intersection of 513 and Gray Rock on block 70, lot 17.01. We are located in the ROM3 district, which is a little difficult to see, but that's sort of the lightly shaded blue area on the Exhibit 1 map. As you can see, we have the existing two-story office building that consumes the majority of the site. And as been indicated, the reason that we're appearing here tonight is to install an emergency generator behind the existing wellhouse structure. To just orient you a little bit to the surrounding neighborhood, to the north across 513, we have an existing farm assessed property. To the east across Gray Rock is a home that's set back over 250 feet from Gray Rock. To the south, there is a commercial property. And then to the west, we have forested land owned by DOT that's along the exit ramp and a car dealership. Exhibit 1 also shows the subject site, the commercial property, the farm assessed property to the north and the commercial property to the south are all in that ROM3 zone. The home to the east is in the SR or suburban residential zone, and then the land to the west that fronts along Route 31 is in the C1 commercial district. We actually already discussed Exhibit 2, so I can skip over that. And if I could ask, Mr. Chairman, there is an Exhibit 3 that we submitted with images.
But before we do that, you'll note there are arrows F1, F2, F3, and F4. Could you just explain the context of those arrows with what's going to be shown in Exhibit 3?
Yes. So those 4 arrows relate to the figures that are on Exhibit 3, and those the arrows show the direction that those images are looking. What would be ideal is if we had them side by side, but this at least shows you the vicinity of where those images were taken.
And if we could go to Exhibit 3 now.
Perfect. Thank you. So F1 stands for Figure 1. And this is the view northwest from 97 Gray Rock's driveway. So you can actually see the yellow structure that's 97 Gray Rock, and we're looking north. And the well house is visible, but as Mr. Burr described, you have a lot of that existing vegetation along the property that screens it to some degree. And then if you could scroll down, Mr. Chairman, figure 2 is a little bit closer, still looking northwest along Gray Rock. But now, actually, you can see the well house itself. Then moving along to figure 3, which should be on the next page. Perfect. This photo is taken at the intersection of Grey Rock and 513, but now we're looking southwest towards the wellhouse structure. And once again, that's where you can see the apple tree or whatever kind of tree that is, sort of at the, it almost looks like it's on top of the windshield of the golden van, and how that worked to screen the generator. Yes, perfect. And then last but not least, we have figure four, which is a little bit closer to the driveway and the well house. Once again, just showing the general area and that existing landscaping. And I would note that these images were taken by Google in September of 2019, but we did go out and verify that those conditions still exist.
Great. Can you say for the board what variance relief the borough is seeking in connection with this application?
So tonight we're seeking two variances. The first is for a front yard setback from section 165-168 of the township's code. 100-foot front yard is required. The existing well house is setback 19.71 feet, and the proposed generator, which would be behind the well house structure, would be set back 35.53 feet. In addition, we are triggering a D1 use variance from section 165-165. In the ROM3 district, it permits municipal uses and facilities and accessory uses incidental to the uses listed under the principal uses are permitted. However, it's been determined that the term municipal means Clinton Township, not Highbridge, thus triggering the variance for the generator. And so those are the two variances that we need.
Let's first discuss the C variance, the front yard setback relief.
Yes, I believe the front yard setback variance can be granted under both the C1 and the C2 criteria. The C1 criteria talks about a reason of extraordinary and exceptional situation uniquely affecting a specific piece of property or the structures lawfully existing thereon. The strict application of the regulation would result in peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties to or hardship upon the developer of such property. So as was noted, the well house already exists. It was installed in 1986. We're not proposing any increase in the size or shape of the well house, just merely this installation of the generator. As Mr. Burr mentioned, we only have a 50-foot deep easement on the property that runs parallel to Grey Rock. Therefore, any structure that the borough proposes on our easement area is going to be violating the 100-foot front yard setback, triggering a front yard variance. Therefore, it's infeasible for us to locate the generator in a conforming location. So what we have is a unique situation that Highbridge does not own the land. We only have an easement. With that said, if we were held to the 100-foot setback requirement, we would be unable to install the generator anywhere on the easement, which would cause undue hardship on the borough. As I said, I think it also meets the C2 criteria, which is the balancing test, and there's a 5-test application for proving the benefits of the deviation substantially outweigh the detriments. The first test is the variance relate to a specific piece of property. So this is the only well owned and operated by the borough of Highbridge in the township of Clinton. And the site that the wellhead is on is an easement held by the borough. The second test asks what purposes of the municipal land use law would be advanced by a deviation from the zoning ordinance. And I think there are three purposes of the municipal land use law that the application advances. First would be purpose A, the appropriate use or development of all lands in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, and welfare. The generator is going to provide power in an emergency situation, which would provide water to homes and businesses for both potable water for drinking purposes, but also for fire suppression. It would advance purpose B, to secure safety from fire, flood, panic, or other natural and man-made disasters. Once again, that generator is going to provide power for the well house when power goes out, ensuring that homes and businesses have both potable water and water for fire suppression purposes. And then last but not least would be the advancement of purpose F, which is encouraging appropriate and efficient expenditure of public funds by the coordination of public development with land use policies. As Mr. Bird mentioned, this generator is being funded with money from FEMA, so I think it advances purpose F. The third test asks, can the variance be granted without substantial detriment to the public good? And with the generators, noise is usually the biggest concern, especially for neighbors that are proximate to it. The closest residential structure is over 250 feet away from the edge of Gray Rock and roughly 350 feet away from the proposed generator. As mentioned, the generator is required to be tested once a week, and the borough has agreed to work with the township and to the potential condition that the chairman has mentioned on setting that scheduled time. The fourth test asks, the variance will not substantially impact the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance. In reviewing your ordinance, I don't believe there's a substantial impact to the zoning ordinance, and it doesn't exacerbate the existing non-conforming condition. And then last but not least, the fifth test says, the benefits of granting the zoning deviation substantially outweigh any detriment. As I mentioned, I think the biggest concern with generators is the noise, which we would agree to regulate that testing schedule. There's community-wide benefit of providing potable water, not only to Highbridge residents, but we went through the billing report, and 49 residences and one commercial property in Clinton Township actually are served by Highbridge's wells. It would also ensure fire safety with continued pumping, and based on these facts, I believe the benefits outweigh any detriment. So that would be my testimony for the front yard variance.
And can we go through the support for the use variance under Section D?
Sure. So we are seeking a D1 use variance, and the board has the power to grant a D1 use variance in particular cases for special reasons. The special reasons are the positive criteria of a D1 use variance. Special reasons include when a proposed project carries out one or more purposes of zoning. However, if a use is found to be inherently beneficial, it satisfies the positive criteria. So as I noted under the front yard variance, there are three purposes of the municipal land use law that I believe the generator advances. That's purpose A for the public health, safety, and general welfare. Purpose B, secure safety from fire, flood, panic, and other disasters. And purpose F, encouraging appropriate and efficient expenditure of public funds. However, I also believe that the generator in combination with the wellhead is an inherently beneficial use. And the courts have held that sewage treatment plants are inherently beneficial. That case was Wichitunk Village Incorporated versus Township of Marlborough. The municipal land use law defines an inherently beneficial use as a use which is universally considered of value to the community because it fundamentally serves the public good and promotes the general welfare. I would add that the board planner's letter dated April 22nd states that the generator, quote, serves the public good and general welfare, end quote. However, instead of relying on the inherently beneficial prong of it, we're actually going to testify to the particular suitability criteria. And under Cole versus Mayor and Council of Fairline, it's stated that there must be a finding that the general welfare is served because the use is peculiarly fitted to the particular location for which the variance is sought. This requirement has been reiterated by several court cases, but most notably is Medici versus BRP Co. That is most commonly referred to as the site suitability test, and it essentially asks two questions. The first question is why the location of the site within the municipality or the region is particularly suited to the use despite the zoning. The second question is what unique characteristics of the site itself make it particularly appropriate for the proposed use rather than a permitted use? In response to those questions, I would say that the site of tonight's application contains an existing wellhead built in 1986, so the site is particularly suited. The zone permits municipal uses and or facilities. However, the owner of the facility is what's triggering the variance in this instance. And all of the other boroughs' wells have generators, and there's a need for the generator at this wellhead because this particular well provides 62% of the borough's water supply. Moving on to the negative criteria, the municipal land use law states that no variance or other relief can be granted without showing that such a variance or other relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance. And so you have essentially the SICA balancing test. And what I've looked at here is the four-step test to determine whether or not the negative criteria is met under the statute. And the first step asks me to identify the public stake, excuse me, the public interest at stake. And so, as I mentioned, this well was installed in 1986. Highbridge's water system is comprised of five wells. Wellhead 8, which is our subject site, has the highest pump capacity at 500 gallons per minute. The next highest pump capacity that Highbridge has is only 160 gallons a minute. So 500 is what we have at this wellhouse. The second highest is only 160 gallons per minute. As Mr. Burr mentioned, the borough is permitted to draw 19.13 million gallons per month. Well 8 is permitted to draw 12 million gallons per month, hence 62% of our water supply. The four other borough wells have generators. And as mentioned by Mr. Burr, the water system can operate for approximately 36 hours without well 8 running. However, the four other wells do not have enough capacity to keep up with the demands of the borough on their own. And essentially what happens after several hours is that the tank level drops, which causes the properties at higher elevations to lose water pressure first. And as I mentioned, this water system not only serves the borough of Highbridge, which at the 2010 census had a little over 3,600 residents, but it also serves 49 homes and one commercial property in Clinton Township. The second step of the test asks to identify the detrimental effects that may ensue from the grant of the variance. Typically, you have issues relating to noise, odors, traffic, lighting, parking, and aesthetics. Here, we're not changing anything with regards to parking or lighting. And there's really two concerns with this application would be primarily the noise and secondarily the aesthetics. The closest residential structure is over 250 feet away from Gray Rock, 350 feet away from the generator. And as mentioned, we would set the test to work with the township to minimize any noise. Aesthetics may also be a concern, but the generator and the pad are smaller than our wellhouse building, set behind it directly, so that we're trying to minimize any visibility of it. We're going to keep all that existing vegetation, and as you saw from Mr. Burr's site plan, the borough has actually agreed to install 4 7-8-foot-tall eastern red cedars to enhance the screening on the sides of the generator. And then the fourth step in the analysis for the balancing test is that the board should weigh the positive and negative criteria, essentially the public interest against the public detriment, and determine whether the grant of the variance would cause a substantial detriment to the public good or would substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance. I believe that any potential public detriment can be mitigated and limited with the proposed landscaping and curbed with the scheduled weekly testing regarding the noise. Regarding the zone plan and the zone ordinance, it should be noted that the ROM 3 district does permit municipal uses and facilities, but the determination has been made that municipal means Clinton and not Highbridge, hence triggering the use variance. The board planner also notes that the master plan, and that is the 2006 land use plan element that he referred to, encourages the development of necessary public services such as utilities. And I really believe that this is a unique situation as the use is permitted. The issue is really the owner of the facility. In conclusion, it's my professional opinion that the requested front yard variance and use variance can be granted because the front yard setback, while non-compliant, is greater than the existing non-conformity. And because of the 50-foot easement, the generator cannot meet the front yard setback. Three purposes of the municipal land use law are advanced, but most importantly, purpose A, promotion of public health, safety, and general welfare. The site is particularly suitable for the generator installation. There is a significant public interest at stake. This is the only well, as I mentioned, of the borough's five total wells that does not have a generator, and this well is our most important well, providing 62% of High Bridge's water. Potential detriments to the public good or the neighborhood are limited to aesthetics, which is subjective, and noise. But as mentioned, we can mitigate that with the proposed vegetation as well as the regulated scheduled weekly testing. The use is not inconsistent with the zone plan. It's permitted. The issue is really with the owner. And with that, that really summarizes my testimony. Happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question when you have when the board is completed.
Any board members have questions?
Yeah, this is Tom Yeager. I don't know if the planner or the engineer would answer this, but the sequence or the amount of time, rather, for the testing, the running of the generator, would either one of you know how long that testing goes on?
At the end, I think Mr. Burr can answer that.
Mr. Yeager, your question was how long does the weekly exercising last?
Yes, sir.
Typically around 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was certainly less. Yeah, certainly less than a half hour, but about 20 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, I have a question. I just got kicked out for 1 second. I have a question when you have. I didn't hear the last question. I don't know what I missed.
Yeah, you can go ahead, Katie. Tom Yeager was asking how long the testing takes, and the answer was 20 minutes, but certainly less than 30. But go ahead, Katie.
Perfect. Okay. Darlene, can you hear me now?
Okay, great. I can hear you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I got everything froze for like 1 second. So, and I was like, okay. So I know you testified in relation, your positive criteria mentioned the suitability and the of the site and the purposes of zoning. And then when you spoke about the negative criteria, you focused on the SECA criteria. And I was wondering if you could also just address the Medici. I know some of that may be overlap, but just for the board's purposes of potentially granting this as a non-inherently beneficial use, if you could just give a sentence or two of how those standards might work in terms of the Medici criteria, if you believe those also are satisfied.
Right. So, I mean, the biggest concern with the
overlap, I just would like it to be addressed, mm-hmm. since you seem to address the suitability standards as well.
Sure. So, I mean, under the negative criteria, the two biggest issues are potential detriment to the public good. And here we only have two potential detriments, which are the noise and the aesthetics. The noise can be mitigated with the timed scheduled weekly tests. However, there's only one residence within really close proximity that could potentially be affected by this. And their house sits over 350 feet away from the proposed generator. As far as the aesthetics goes, the installation of the 4 78-foot tall eastern red cedars would help to enhance the existing screening, especially in the winter months. So I believe that there is no detriment to the public good because of those mitigation efforts that we're willing to undertake. To the prong for the zone plan and intent, it's clear from the ordinance that the intention was to allow public utilities and facilities in this zone, and I'm sure the authors of the ordinance never ever contemplated that one town would have its facilities in another town. So it really is a unique situation in that this use is permitted. It's just the ownership that's the issue. So combine that with the fact that your 2006 land use plan element actually encourages the development of necessary public services such as utilities, I believe that there's no detriment to the zone plan or the intent of the zoning ordinance.
Thank Tom Behrens, did you have any questions or comments?
I just wanted to add something, and Katie raised and had just touched on it. So, and it has to do with the statutory criteria for the use variance relief. Ms. Green, you did a great job. In terms of applying the accessory generator as an inherently beneficial use, the public benefit is clear, and I initially had made that connection. In speaking with John Drill about it, we're both reluctant to call an accessory generator an inherently beneficial use and have the board render its decision based on that and the implications of that might have on future applications. So, again, I'm glad you provided the Medici case law criteria and addressed that. I think that's probably more appropriate. I could see how it could wiggle into the seeker criteria as well, but I think for the board's sake, and again, this is based on my conversation with Mr. Drill, that it might be better to err on the side of not calling it an inherently beneficial use per se.
And we understand the board's concern, and we presented the proofs under Medici to establish the positive criteria.
Yeah, and that's just why I wanted to make sure that both criterion were underscored fully to make sure that that was on the record. So thank you.
Great job. Thank you.
Any board members have any comments or questions? And then we'll go again and see if there's anyone in the public, which I think there's not. But anyone have any comments, questions?
Yeah, I had one more question. This could go to.
Could you just
This is Dave Roberts.
Thank you.
You mentioned fire suppression. Does this well or does Highbridge Water supply any hydrants in Clinton Township? Anybody?
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Mr. Public Works.
Need to be sworn in.
Hold on. Okay. Is that Mr. Roll?
Yes.
Mr. Roll, can you raise your right hand for me? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, ma'am.
And what can you say your name and your affiliation?
Frederick Roll, Director of Public Works and Utilities, Borough of Highbridge.
Director of Public Works. Just give me 1 second so I'm writing it down, okay?
No problem.
Thank you. Director of Public Works?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay.
This well does supply fire hydrants in Clinton Township. We have one. There's a fire hydrant at the corner of Gray Rock and 513. There's a fire hydrant in front of Krieger's Garage, and approximately 4 to 6 fire hydrants in the development that we serve Clinton Township, the Weimer, Hamilton, Roundtop developments. There's between 4 and 6 fire hydrants up there.
Thank you, and that might you know, the issue of the inherently beneficial use, but certainly fire hydrants, I would say, are inherently beneficial use.
Thank you, Mr. Roll.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board members? Okay, and again, is there anyone in the public that's interested in commenting on this case or asking questions of the witness? Okay, if not, then I think we're ready for deliberation. Would anyone like to?
Just one point, if I could bring Mr. Burr back on one point.
Sure.
We would request, if the board is inclined to grant our application, begin the process of applying for construction permits while the resolution is pending. And Mr. Burr can explain, I think that's something that we want to get in within the timing of the FEMA application.
Thanks, Steve.
So if I can just comment on that, We, as the board, cannot issue permits. We can let the construction official know. We can ask the board secretary, and we've done this many times in the past, to let them know that we have voted favorably, which I'm assuming it's going to go that direction. We say, hey, we passed it, but we don't issue the permits, so you have to take that up. But we've seen this happen many times in the past, and it's never been a problem.
Okay. Thank you. So with that concludes our presentation, and we would ask the board to grant the relief for the approval and the variances, given the satisfaction of the positive and negative criteria.
Question. I think we forgot whether or not you met the criteria to waive site plan.
I think the board secretary indicated that was already granted, but the board secretary can address it.
I think there's two different things here. One is whether or not site plan is required as part of an application. And that I'm not sure if that's what John Mattson was asking or not. The second is a different question as to whether or not the board will waive approval of site plan. And Tom Behrens, can you comment? Do you remember what the guidelines are on that question?
Sorry, I was on mute there. Yes, there are several criteria for a waiver of site plan. The first one has to do with whether a previous site plan had been approved and that the proposal will not have a significant impact on that site plan. And the third piece of that has to do with the proposal not affecting existing circulation, parking, drainage, building arrangement, landscaping, buffering, or lighting. So the application would seem to apply to both of those criteria. And in addition, some required material, which includes the approved site plan, a written description of proposed operation and use, and a written description of and grounds for the waiver requested. So in my opinion, it clearly meets the criteria for the waiver of site plan to be granted.
Hey, just a sec. Hey, Denise, could you mute your line, please? And Tom Behrens, could you just step through that again? What is the criteria to waive a site plan? Because it's going a little fast, and I'm familiar with it. What's the criteria that you think?
Mr. Chairman, can I interrupt one second? I don't mean to interrupt. In our application submission, right before the site plan document, we gave a description of the waiver of site plan request, and I don't know if you have access to that. If you could pull that up on the screen, that might be helpful for the board as Mr. Behrens reviews the criteria.
Of the complete application, it starts on page 18.
Right. So if you...
There you go.
Perfect. Right there, the waiver of site plan. 165.36.1. I just thought that would be helpful for the board to see. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Am I on the right page here?
Yes. It starts on that page that you were on, and then it spans onto the next page. So that's the criteria that the ordinance outlines.
Okay. So do you want to walk us through what you think the criteria is and how you think you meet the criteria to waive site plan, please?
I'm happy to. If you wouldn't mind just skimming up just a little bit to the next to
the previous page.
Go down. No, the other direction. The other down. There we go.
Right there.
Got it. Okay. So your ordinance section 165-36.1 outlines the requirements or outlines the fact that the board can waive the requirement of formal site plan review if the board finds those three items applies. So item A, I guess section A1 is that the applicant needs to have secured previous site plan approval. And the proposed development will have insignificant impact on the previously approved site plan. We know that the office complex was developed in the early 1980s and that our well was developed around 1986. I do not have a formal copy of that approval, but we do not feel that any part of the application that we're proposing is going to have an impact on what may be previously approved. So we're relying on the fact that it's a previously developed property, and we're not going to be negatively impacting that. Subsection A2 requires that the project involve normal repair, maintenance, or replacement.
Hey, can I just stop you for a second?
Please.
I think, and Tom Barron's correct me if I'm wrong, I think you need to meet only one of these three in order to waive site plan. John Mattson, is that correct?
Language has an or in it.
It's correct. Yes, or. Yeah, it's one. One of the criteria.
Okay.
All right. So you don't have to meet all three. You've got to pick your best one and go with it.
I'd go with three.
So then I would think two or three, quite honestly. I mean, technically probably three, because subsection two includes normal repair, maintenance, or replacement. The generator really fits under none of those, although, a modest accessory improvement to an already existing facility. But certainly number three will not affect existing circulation, parking, drainage, building arrangement, landscaping, buffering, lighting, and other considerations. We're really not impacting any of the existing facilities associated with the wellhouse or the office building, for that matter. Existing parking lots or driveway stays the same. No impact on drainage, no impact on the well house. We're proposing landscaping, should the board request that. Not proposing any buffering to be removed or any impact on the existing vegetation. And there's no lighting being proposed. So I think probably A3 would be our best fit as far as a rationale for requesting that site plan waiver.
Okay. That sounds right to me. Do any of the board members have an issue with requesting waiver of site plan based on number three here, A3? David, looks like you're shaking your head no, meaning you agree with this. Okay, thanks. Okay, so I think that concludes your testimony then, right? We've covered all the points.
That is correct.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Frisker. Okay, so with that, does anyone from the board want to make any comments or open the deliberation on this?
I'd just like to comment quickly.
Could you just identify yourself, please?
I'm sorry, this is John Mattson, talking.
Thanks, John.
Until sometime after the year 2000, utilities were permitted use in any zone in the township. And I think they were taken out not because the township didn't think that a specific utility was inappropriate for the zone, simply because problems of writing a site plan requirement or something like that can be extremely difficult. And you have to do it for each specific kind of utility, like a transformer station, a big transformer station, or a small transformer station, or a power line, or a water tower. I think the fact that a use variance is required is not a comment on the use, it's just a comment that the township needs to make sure that the particular use is not causing problems. So it's really requiring a little more attention to plan of issues and not so much to the actual what the use is.
So, John, are you in favor of this application, the C, the D, and site plan waiver?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And question, John, would you go for a C1 hardship or a C2 benefits?
C1.
I would as well. I'd go with the C1 on this. Anyone else want to comment? I'll just offer a couple of perspectives. I like the C1 better than the C2 because actually we start with the D variance. I think the site is particularly suited because the well is already there. And of course the generator supports the well. I don't think we need to go as far as declaring this inherently beneficial. I think it can be justified without going that far, and I understand the risks in declaring this inherently beneficial because then it opens the door to maybe some others which aren't quite as clear. But I think there's plenty enough of a case, an argument to be made for the D1 use, and I agree with John, the C1 makes more sense here. There's a hardship. If the property were bigger, would the generator be put 100 feet back from the property line? We might. I don't know what the advantage to putting it close would be other than there's less underground utilities, but clearly the C1 is justified in this case. And with respect to the site plan waiver, I think the applicant has made the case that this clearly will not affect existing circulation, parking, drainage, building arrangements, et cetera. I don't think you would have met the test for case number one because it's not obvious that there was a previously approved site plan. So I don't think you could have passed the test on that one, nor do I think you could have passed the test on A2 that this involves normal repair, maintenance, or replacement. But I think you clearly meet the test for an A3. So for that reason, I'm in favor of the D, the C, and also the waiver site plan. Would anyone else like to comment? Is there anyone opposed to this relief? Okay, and then one last time, is there anyone in the audience from the public that would like to comment on this in any way? Okay. Katie Raisin, do you have everything you need to write the resolution on this? Sufficient material to write the justifications, and you have two conditions, is that right?
I do. I mean, there might be other, the typical standard conditions that we have, and the conditions that if Tom, I'm going to re-review Tom's memo that I had already reviewed, make sure there's no other conditions in there that he had, but I had the planting of the four trees that were mentioned, and I have the time limitations, that the Monday through Friday, 9 to 4 timing for the testing that you had mentioned. And if there's anything else, Mr. Ferkser, that are you okay with? Those were the two main ones that I heard.
That's correct.
Okay, so you're nodding. Yes. Okay, so those are the two that I heard during the testimony, and then I'm just going to review the record and make sure that when I draft that, that's what we'll be assuming that we go forward.
Yep, okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, could I have a motion, please, to grant the relief, the C variance, the D variance, the waiver site plan, subject to the conditions just discussed?
So moved. This is David Huffer.
Okay, and a second, please.
Second, John Madsen.
Okay, and Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Madsen?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great, thank you. And Denise, as we've done in some cases in the past, can we as board ask you to notify the construction officials that we passed the vote and resolution will be coming?
Yes. Also, I just want to let the applicant know that prior to drawing permits, a zoning application must be submitted first.
Very good.
Well noted. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck, all. And hey, board members, before we move to adjourn, how did we do tonight? Should we have done anything different in the way we conducted this meeting?
The only change I would request, I couldn't use the hyperlink on the agenda that was emailed, so I had to literally type it in. I wasn't even able to copy and paste it. I don't know if anybody else had that problem, but the link to get into the meeting didn't work for me.
I had to copy and paste. This is Sharon Stevens.
Yeah, the copy and paste worked for me.
That's what I had to do also.
I had to type it in like Dave did.
Okay. I'll take a look at that with you, Denise, to see if we can figure out why that's not working for everyone.
Okay.
Okay, with that. And Denise, what do we have coming up for next meeting, which will be May 11th is our next meeting, correct?
Yeah, well, Tom, hold it. We need to – we had another application scheduled for this evening, and we need to address that, and we need to put on the record that that application is going to be carried.
Oh, I thought we weren't carrying it because the notice wasn't sufficient.
Well, when I spoke to John Drill today, he said that we would carry the application to the next meeting, which the applicant does want to go for May 11th, with the need for new notice.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Which gives him a short window to notice. So, so hopefully it will be done. It has to be done right away.
Yeah, I know. I communicated with him just right before the meeting started, and he's asking me to review his notice. So it's going to be a tight time frame because he has to get it to the newspaper tomorrow morning.
Okay. And if he doesn't, then are we going to carry it all the way to June?
We would have to then if he doesn't make it, yes.
Right. I mean, if that's the only thing we have on for May, we may not have a meeting in May, right?
Correct. If he doesn't make it, then yes, then we would not need to have a meeting.
Okay. So do we need to take a vote on that, Katie? Or just announce it?
No, I think we carry it to May, and then assuming that he notices, then you're on, then correctly, then you would be on. And so there's no vote. It's just a carry with new notice, not without. Yeah.
What happens if he doesn't make the May 11th meeting and we cancel that meeting?
If he doesn't make it, then he still has to re-notice. Then he's going to have to notice for June. Because
right.
Then you're just canceling the meet. Then you're just canceling. Then you would just be canceling your meeting as if you didn't have any business, right? Because you don't have anything else. Is that what you're saying?
It wouldn't matter that the meeting that we were only carrying the application to May 11th. We wouldn't need to say now that we may have to carry it to June.
But he has to re. I mean, he has to re. I mean, it's a little. But he has to re-notice anyway. So, right.
If worse comes to worse, we can have a 5-minute meeting in May.
I mean, that's the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to have to sign on. But, I mean, you know, I guess you kind of have to wait and see what's going to happen with him, I think. And hope that he gets it in, and let's go from there, I think. And if you have to carry, if you have to open the meeting to carry at that point, then you have to open the meeting to carry. It's kind of determined on him because, again, like if his notice is good or his notice is bad, he either has to re-notice or you have good notice. You know what I'm saying? If he has good notice, you're going forward. If he has bad notice, he has to re-notice anyway. So, yeah.
Okay. So the fact that he needs to re-notice really supersedes the time frame that you're carrying the application to.
Basically, but right, because in theory you wouldn't have to. If someone's re-noticing, in theory, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily have to carry a meeting because he doesn't have good note. Like what the chair said, he doesn't have good notice, right? So we're just sort of carrying a date for him. So I would say let's carry to May with new notice on the Smeltzer application, and. To be, you know, if let's hope he has good notice and you hold the meeting, and that if he doesn't, we'll figure it out from there if you have to hold a new meeting to carry or you don't, but I think you're good to go either way. I think
okay.
Could we have the only thing we have in May is to the next meeting? That way, if we don't have a meeting, you know, if we're not going to have a meeting in May, then it would automatically carry?
Carry to June?
I mean, if we just said we're going to carry it to the next meeting of the board.
But he can't, so the thing is that he hasn't noticed yet. So it's a little odd, like you see what I'm saying? So it's a little odd because it's dependent on this applicant noticing properly, which I'm assuming we want to assume that somebody's going to do that correctly. So let's assume he's going to notice correctly for May, given the benefit of doing it correctly, understanding that he only has, you know, has to get it in tomorrow. So, It's an odd procedural issue to like somebody's re-noticing and we're carrying. I wish John hadn't said that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, maybe. Let's
not agonize over it. Let's carry it to May. If we need a 5-minute meeting.
Yeah.
To carry
that's
to June,
the worst
we can do
thing
that.
That's going to happen. That's the worst thing that's going to happen. But I don't think that's going to I don't think it's going to happen either way, because either you're going to have a meeting, or he's going to have to re-notice for June. So.
Right. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Denise, is that the only thing on the agenda for May?
This is Tom Yeager. Denise, or maybe Katie, what about the Baker resolution? John said in March we'd have the Baker. In May, is that?
You would have that. You will have that for May. So you could also adopt Baker if you wanted to.
Then we would probably have the meeting for that then.
Mr. Yeager with the win.
I didn't mean to be.
Denise, is that the only thing for our next meeting? There's no other public hearings?
No other public hearings.
Okay, great. Anyone have anything else then? If not, could I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second. This is Sharon.
And that was John Mattson and Sharon Stevens. And Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mattson?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts? Mr. Roberts?
Dave, you're on mute.
How about now?
Yes. Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carries and the meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. See you in a few weeks.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Good night. Stay well.